I mean, I think you see a bunch of consistency of not, you know, turning the ball over and things like that. You know, Kyler's being very safe with the football. You know, they have a great game plan that they have going on with him, and it's just everybody's flowing within it. You know, they're getting the ball into the playmaker's hands. You know, Brandon Marshall's made some real big plays, you know, plays that, you know, the average receiver couldn't make, and I think their, you know, running backs and tight ends are doing a great job as well. So I just think they're playing very, very sound football.
How much do you think you're, in a leadership way, how much do you think your leadership has helped the Baltimore Ravens over the years? I know what you do on the field, but what about, you know, just leadership?
You know, you can only, you know, judge true leadership by, you know, the influence that you really have on others, and you know, you see the impact, you know, and I think that, you know, not just, you know, with the Ravens, man, but I bought into, you know, just talking to more men and just lead more men, and not just men, people in general, and so it's just, you know, and every time you hear the testimonies that come back, now those are the things you really know why you do it. You know, you don't do it for praise, you know, but when it comes back from the individual itself, you know, then it just shows itself, man. So I've bought into my business, this organization, and whatever it is, however I can lead, I try in every way to be a better or different leader one way or another.
And do you think that equates to wins and losses, though?
I think it does, because it creates a certain type of chemistry. You know, when you look at all of the, you know, the great ones, you know, over the time, whether it's football, basketball, no matter what it is, whether it's a Michael Jordan, whether it's a whoever, you know, it was their leadership skills that, you know, the coaches talk about that brought the team chemistry together and kept the team chemistry for so many years, you know, whether it was up or down, whatever. It's a certain person in the locker room, a certain person that's around that's figured out that, you know, the coaches can only say one thing or go so far, but, you know, me being a leader, I can bring a totally different perspective on things like that because I'm actually going through it with them, and that's what I think most leaders grab onto real quickly.
You must know Brian Dawkins from your time in your league. Do you see some similarities between you and him in terms of that leadership stuff you were talking about?
I think we're two of the same people. You know, even every time we see each other, you know, it's amazing the way we, you know, smile at each other and hug each other and just respect each other on that side of it. You know, first of all, you know, being just true men of God, you know, and just understanding that being a man of God is just really just serving, man, being okay with who you are totally and just being okay with serving people. And, you know, you look at a Brian Dawkins, man, to me, I think he's probably one of the greatest men I've ever met. I respect the guy, you know, with so much respect. It's unbelievable.
How much did Coach Harbaugh change the attitude or the kind of the culture of this team when he came in, or did he not have to, since you guys were a pretty veteran, you know, veteran group?
I don't think he had to. I think he was more of a, you know, come in as a facilitator, you know, putting his thing on it, you know, whatever it was, you know, his little spiel on it, and from there, you know, we kind of grew and molded together. You know, and that's kind of, you know, where it came from. You kind of see how he interacts with us, and, you know, he says this little thing, throws this little flavor, and, you know, we as veterans, and, you know, he uses us a lot. He uses us a lot. You know, guys, me, Berg, and Trevor, and all those guys, you know, to really, you know, figure out what's best. How should we do this? How should we do that? You know, and then not necessarily that he may do it the way we say do it, but he does, you know, take it in great consideration and then comes back to us and gives whatever it is, and that's what I think really, really, you know, has rubbed off on this total team.
Ray, you've played the Broncos in many, many times in your career in some big games, always under Shanahan. Now that you've seen this year's tape, how recognizable is what they're doing offensively to what you remember seeing from the Broncos in the past?
Well, I think it's, you know, I mean, you say that, you might want to say that it's a little different, but, you know, Denver, I think, has always, you know, stuck with this, you know, same running zone scheme. You know, they like to, you know, their line is very athletic. Excuse me, very athletic. So they like getting down the line, and they like, you know, cutting off and let the back make one cut, and, you know, and then that's it. And I don't think that's changed. You know, I mean, you know, of course, you don't have the John Elways and things like that anymore. But the bottom line, you still have, you know, your core intact, which is, you know, I know you have a lot of different players, but I think the scheme hasn't changed that much outside of, you know, a couple of wrinkles that, you know, McDaniels, you know, threw in itself.
Do you see many similarities between your team and this Broncos team? Josh McDaniel was talking the other day about he's trying to make this team a tough, physical team, and obviously that's what you guys have been known for in recent years. Is this a tougher Broncos team than maybe recent years?
I think definitely, you know, I'm not inside, but if when you watch on film, I think they're playing with a certain attitude, you know, and that's the only way you can play, you know, and I think they realize, you know, no matter good, bad, in different games, you know, just play hard-nosed football, fly to the football, have fun doing it, and if you look at them doing it, that's what they're doing right now, and of course, you know, our tradition has been that for years, you know, so I once coached with Mike Nolan and things, I mean, played for Mike Nolan and things like that, but, you know, it's a great accomplishment when you see, you know, other defenses actually running around making those type of plays, man, and just really having fun. And that's what I think, that they're very aggressive. The ball is not getting over their head. They're limiting big plays and things like that. And you know, the thing about a good defense, hopefully you can maintain through the whole season, you know, because that lapse, you know, when you're that good, is going to come somewhere. And so, you know, I mean, I just think those guys are playing very, very fast.
And having played for Mike Nolan, in what ways do you see his influence on this defense? I know you haven't studied this defense too much, but, you know, just in watching him a little bit.
If I knew anything, I just know what he preaches in personality. You know, I'm talking about, you know, he's a first class guy, you know, and he preaches. He doesn't correct you based off, oh, I want you to be there. Nah, if you're not giving him what he wants, that's the only time you have a problem with him. And I think all of the guys over there with the veteran leadership over there, I think they kind of, you know, mimic what his, you know, outlook is on the game. And that's kind of what you see going on right now. You see Brian Dawkins and Champ really, you know, mentoring all of the other players, keeping them in the right position and things like that. And that's one thing Mike Nolan has always did. He's always gave the players the flexibility to go, you know, pretty much create your own defense.
Yeah, he's doing a heck of a job here. Do you think he's going to get another head coaching job?
Don't know, man. Don't know. You know, I think that's digging, for me, that might be digging too much into it. I don't know. I just know
he's... Do you think he deserves it? I mean, you know him pretty well. Do you think he deserves another shot?
I think he's happy where he is. You know, sometimes you try to push people out of jobs and push them looking for something when ultimately where he is can be the greatest thing ever. So I'll say many blessings to him there and let him ride it out.
Ray, what has made your defense so tough in the red zone and some of those short yardage situations? What's the key to that type of defense?
Well, I think it's, you know, I think the key is, you know, just really just keeping everything in front of you, you know, and in the red zone. You know, it's just something that we take real pride in, you know, just about, you know, you can bend but you don't break, you know, and the thing is, you know, even, you know, a bunch of the big plays that we've given up this year that don't usually happen, you know, when they happen, you know, the thing that I've been more excited about is what you're speaking about, the response of it, you know, people getting in the red zone, getting on the 1 yard line, not getting in and things like that. And that's a mentality, that's a certain attitude that says, okay, buckle up, nothing else matters, but as long as they don't get in the end zone, give them three and we'll play another day. And that's the thing that I really, you know, like about the way we play football. Everybody looks at each other in the eyes and say, here we go.
Ray, how well timed was the bye week to kind of give you guys a chance to regroup after the past few games?
Oh, yeah. I think any bye is good, but I think the reason why our bye was good because, you know, you go through the frustrations of, you know, whether you lose in New England, you know, whether you make a catch in that game, you win it, whether you make a stop in Cincinnati or another catch in Cincinnati, or whether you make a field goal or not miss a field goal. And so it's called one play. You know, you go back, you know, everybody recaps their seasons. You know, you go back and you're saying, wow, you know, and every 30 seconds of every last game with 30 seconds away from winning. You know what I'm saying? And so you ask yourself, okay, wow. So you can build up frustration, or you can understand that, okay, maybe we didn't get these breaks, you know, early. And we went through the same exact things last year, you know. But now, you know, coming off the bye, you know, you go bust your butt and you see these little things that add up to be big things. So now I think, you know, just coming back, having the bye when we had it, I think it really corrected a lot of little stuff. That, I think the same things every team is going to go through, whether it's sooner than later. Hopefully, I'm glad we went through ours sooner, though.
Ray, from your perspective as a defensive guy, when you see a quarterback like Flacco, a young guy, when do you know, looking at him, if a guy's going to make it or not?
I just really believe in that. You know, just speaking about Joe, I just really believe it's a first look thing. You know, I mean, I'm not talking about just, you know, just looking at somebody physically and say, wow, he can play. No, I'm talking about watching somebody for the first time, you know, in whatever their craft is. His craft is throwing the ball. I mean, this guy's, you know, 6'6". He runs way better than people think he can. And he can pinpoint and throw the ball anywhere you want him to put it. You know, on the field, you know, things like that. Even if you want to put him in the bleachers, things like that. He can do a lot of those things, man. He's just gifted, man. He's one of those kids who really understands the game, who really wants to be great at the game and has every physical ability to be good at it.
A little odd to look around in your position group these days, and you're a long way down the road from most of the other guys now.
Yeah, man. You know, and that's the thing that, you know, you sometimes love. You know, I kind of went through that with Rod Wilson, you know, when Rod and Shannon was here, you know, and I was a young pup, you know, and they was the old wise ones. It's just so much you learn from them, you know, and that's what the guys, you know, they call me pops and, you know, things like that, unk and whatever it is. And when I want to come to the house, let's talk, let's do this, let's go out to eat, come, you know, whatever it is, man. And so when you look around, you see really how pure the game, you know, has always been, you know, because you see them running around with their heads cut off like chickens, a bunch of them, and, you know, you really try to get them to settle in, you should do this, you should do that, but then you realize a bunch of them are young, you know, but at the bottom line, we have a lot of young guys who's hungry to try to be good, so if it's anything, you know, it's still more of a mentoring process when I do look around, you know, at what's around me.
You're okay with them calling you pops?
Oh, why wouldn't I be? You know, I call anybody that's older than me, I call pops. You know, it's just some kind of a terminology we use because, you know, I respect anybody. I say yes, sir, to anybody. I don't care if you're 1 or 2 years older than me. You know, my mom raised me that way. So the guys kind of picked up on it, you know. When I walk around in Trevor, I mean, any older guy being like, pops, what's up? You know, it's just, you know, just a certain level of respect that, you know, I respect my elders. So, you know, they do it, man, and it's sometimes in a joking way, you know, pops ain't gonna do this, pops ain't gonna do that, pops ain't gonna go here, he ain't gonna go there. So, you know, it's kind of, they separate, you know, I understand where I'm at, and we understand where you are as well.
Thanks a lot, Ray.
Thanks, Ray.
All right, thank you, guys.